Let's turn to the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, chapter 4. You know, there's times when the words of our Lord are so sweet, so captivating, so amazingly wonderful, that it does us well to remember those words often. His words are life. They're tender. To his people, they're merciful, kind. And they're nothing less than amazing grace. I'd like for us to look at a passage of Scripture that we've read often, I've quoted often, we've rejoiced in often. But I want us to just take a few verses, Song of Solomon chapter 4, and I want to read verses 9 to 12. I've looked in my notes, I've preached on this a couple of times since I've been here, but believe me, it will do us good to hear them one more time. Song of Solomon 4, verse 9 to 12. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine? And the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now, eternally, the Lord has possessed a bride. The bride has always been the Lord's. She was given him before the foundation of the world. That's what Ephesians 1:4 says. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And concerning the Lord, in whom the bride was found. Like I said, you ask, how long has the bride been in Christ? She's always been in Christ. There's never been a time when she wasn't in the Lord. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. But listen, concerning our Lord, the one in whom we've been chosen, Proverbs 8, 30 and 31, concerning his relationship in covenant mercy and grace to the Father, to the Spirit. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his light. Now listen, you know who's talking here? This is Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the Son. I was by him, who by the Father, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men, always rejoicing in the bride. Now before the Lord was openly revealed to his people, before he was made flesh, before a body was prepared him, before he was born of the Virgin Mary, before he was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, the Scripture reveals that he is. He is. He is the eternal Son. If there's an eternal Son, then there's eternal Father. And God, who is Spirit, that's what the Scripture says, God is Spirit, would become visible. God was going to manifest himself to men. And the Son, he who has eternally stood as the surety, the guarantor, I guarantee, is what he's saying. What the Father has given me to do, I'm going to do it. He has eternally stood as the surety for those chosen out of the mass of humanity, and he was set forth to be the pattern. Now listen to what I'm saying here. He was set forth to be the very pattern of the future creation of man before he was ever made flesh. God Jehovah spoke and said concerning the creation of man, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness." Now again, I've looked these words up, and I know what they mean. Here's what the word likeness means: after our similitude, after our resemblance. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to come into this world, and he was going to be made flesh. And the way that he was going to be made flesh, that's the way God made man. Let us make man after our likeness, after our image. The Apostle Paul referred to the Lord as he who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And when it says firstborn, it means beginning, foremost in time, and the oldest. That's what it means. God, in his glorious essence, is invisible. He's spirit. Yet Jehovah was pleased to manifest himself to humanity as that holy thing. Luke 1:35. And John says, John 1:14, "We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So before he was made flesh, before he was brought into this existence, before we were created, we were his delight. I tell you often, I'm way over my head here in explaining. I'm not explaining it. I'm not trying to explain it. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. This is the way it is. There's some things we just don't understand right now. We shall see him as he is and be like him. I believe that. I don't understand it. I can't grasp that, but I know it's so. Now here's the glorious Lord of heaven, the one who has ever been filled with joy. His delights were with the sons of men. He delighted them, taken up with her. The one who has everlastingly been betrothed to himself. He said, "You're mine." The bride, the beloved, the church, the elect, the chosen. His bride, given him an electing grace. She fell in Adam. She was polluted with sin. In her fallen state, she's referred to in Galatians 2 as being children of wrath, even as others. And as I've told you before, the bride of Christ has never been under the wrath of God, but her attitude toward him, we were enemies in our mind against him. We hated God. We were born that way. You say, "Well, that's kind of a strong statement." Well, the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's the way we are. But the bride, chosen in Christ, has never been out of him. And he loved her. And he gave himself for her. So I want us to consider just a few minutes these glorious words out of Song of Solomon. that the Spirit of God has given to us, and may He give us ears to hear and a heart to understand and eyes to see by faith and be thankful for. This is what the Lord has got to say. He said in verse 9, Song of Solomon 4, 9, "Thou hast ravished my heart." He said, "You have." Thou. Not another, but all those given Him by the Father in electing grace. He said, "You have stolen my heart. I am heartless. Thou hast ravished my heart. You've taken my heart." The ones that have caused Him to be overcome with joy and delight, that precious bride given Him by the Father, the one that fell in Adam and separated herself from Him. He's always beheld her. He's always loved her. That's what Jeremiah 3:13. He said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Has there ever been a time when Christ didn't love His bride? No. No, He's always loved her. She didn't love Him, but He loved her. These are the ones that the Father gave Him. This is the one that He has covenanted to. "I'm going to bear her guilt." All those that God has chosen out of every nation and kindred, tribe and tongue. That's in Revelation 5. All these that God chose to, He gave her a bride. And Christ, He's going to bear her guilt. He's going to lay down His life for the sheep. When did the Father see that? He saw that from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. "I'm going to live for her. I'm going to die for her. I'm going to robe her in my righteousness." He said, you've taken my heart. If I say my wife has ravished my heart, who do you think of? I don't have but one wife here. Who do you think I'm talking about? What does the Lord say? "Thou hast ravished my heart." And the joy of being eternally with her, being with her in glory and having her unto Himself. Listen to Hebrews 12:2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross." They beat Him, plucked out the beard, put a crown of thorns on His head, took a stick, hit Him, mocked Him, put a robe on Him. You know, who hit you? For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, "You have ravished my heart, my sister. My sister. You that I have come into this world, you who were made in my likeness, in the image of God, made in the flesh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, you for whom I came into this world and joined myself, making myself in your likeness, you who are made in my likeness, my spouse, you that I've taken to myself, you have ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with a single eye of faith toward me." Oh, I think about that. With one of your eyes. I mean, we got two. With one of your eyes. I think about how the Lord would talk to His disciples and say, "Oh, you of little faith." But at least they had faith. Little faith. But they had faith. They believed God. "Oh, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling." He said, "You've ravished me with one of your eyes and with one chain. One jewel is what that word is, of your neck. And to what does the Lord refer when he says it? Right there, you see, latter part of verse 9. You've ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Hold your place and turn to Ezekiel 16. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel 16. Listen to these sweet words. Starting in verse 6, Ezekiel 16, 6. When I pass by thee, now here's a beautiful passage of scripture concerning when the Spirit of God is pleased to call out one of God's own. And the Lord knows where they are. He knows. He knows. I know my sheep. When God is pleased to call out one of his own, here's how he's going to do it. When I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. Thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now, when I passed by thee and I looked upon thee, behold, thine time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine openly. She'd always been his, but openly. Now, how do you know God's people? How do you know who God's people are? Well, when God converts them. That's when you know them. That's when you see them. Until then, they don't care. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, shod thee with badger skin, girded thee about with fine linen, covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands, a chain on thy neck. I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Who did everything for her? Her? Oh, I saw you. I saw you polluted in your blood in that fallen nature of Adam. I saw you. I washed you. I clothed you. I put ornaments of my grace upon you. Here she was, a bride in that fallen state, miserable, spiritually poor. She'd lost everything, lost peace and comfort and love and life and fellowship with God, you know, incapable of making anything out of herself. What can a dead, spiritually dead sinner do for themselves? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, but she was taken out of the pit of that spiritual death and depravity and regenerating grace, and he came and washed her in his precious blood and robed her in his glorious righteousness and bestowed all these glorious graces of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and meekness, and kindness, and love for him and him for her, and love for each other, God's people, and bestowed all that. He said, I put those ornaments, that chain around your neck, and set forth all the spiritual blessings of God upon you. Now he beholds her. He looks at her. Now in Song of Solomon, back in Song of Solomon chapter 4, he said, you know, thou have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You've ravished my heart with one of thine eyes and one chain of thy neck. He said, you've stolen my heart in the beauty of what I did for you. He says in verse 10, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How beautiful. How beautiful is your love for me. My love for you and your love for me. How beautiful and sweet and acceptable are My caress is for you, but your caress is back to me. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Before I realized anything of his love for me, I didn't love him. Somebody said, well, I've always loved the Lord. Well, that's just a little bit too long. That's a little too long. Because we hadn't always loved him. Well, how do you know that? That's what he said. Oh, he says, how much better is thy love than wine? Better than the temporal enjoyments of this world? Oh, absolutely. It's not beyond our thinking that he is worthy of us speaking to him that way. But for him to say that of us. The bride had previously said of him in Song of Solomon 1:2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. That's what the bride says to him. That's what I can understand that part. But oh, the wonder that he say that about me. I've told you a little bit about me before the Lord's pleased to call me out of darkness. Heck, I got two sisters and a brother here that could probably write a book on some things. You know, he talked about if he wanted to throw me under the bus, but that the Lord would speak to me out of kindness, mercy, gentleness. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction, the atonement for our sins. That's love. Then the Lord declares it concerning the bride's love was better than anything that this world has to offer. Now he speaks of her sweet fragrance. He says in verse 10, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. It was said of him. Back in Song of Solomon 1:3, that concerning his fragrance is the ointment poured forth. That's the sweet grace of God's Spirit that was given to him without measure. But concerning the bride, the one whom the Spirit of God has been given as an earnest of her inheritance in Christ, she possesses that fragrance of God's mercy that's better than all spices. I know I'm going to embarrass my wife right here, and I'll hear about it afterwards, but that's okay, baby. I don't mean anything by it. You know, we get ready to go somewhere. We get all dressed and everything. She put her perfume on and stuff like that. I give her a hug, something like that. You know, after I get away from her, every once in a while, the wind blows a certain way, I can smell that perfume. I smell it, you know. That smells like my wife. But she'll tell me the same thing. I'll put some of that foo-foo juice on, you know, and stuff like that. And she'll say, you know, she said, I can smell your cologne. That's right. Oh, he said, the smell of thine ointments and all spices. And then he says in verse 11, thy lips, oh, my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. You know, continuing with that thought of that of her ravishing his heart. The Lord said here that, you know, my heart is stolen because of your lips. Her speech. She you know, her speech, that sweet conversation that she has from the heart that drops from her lips in speaking. It was, you know, I think about that passage of scripture in Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. The Lord, you know, when God's people would talk, they talk to each other. And the Lord hearkens towards, and he hears it, and a book of remembrance is written before him for them that fear the Lord and think upon his name. David said in Psalm 145:11, they speak of thy glory and thy kingdom, and they talk of thy power. The Lord says concerning their conversation with one another. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk. Honey for the sweetness, milk for the nourishment is under your tongue. And the smell of thy garments, oh, it's like the smell of Lebanon. You remember when Isaac, he was going to bless his boys. Remember this. And Jacob and Esau. And Isaac, you know, Esau was his firstborn. That's the one he was going to bless. You remember that. You know the story. But the blessing was going to go to Jacob. And so Esau had gone out to prepare, get some venison. He was going to make that soup that his daddy liked. And then he was going to come in and get the blessing, the birthright. His mama took Esau's. She said, "Now you can't go in there to your daddy. You know, he's going to know that you're not Esau. Esau's a hairy man. He killed a goat and put goat skins on him, on his arms." And he said, "I'm going to put Esau's coat on Jacob." And they went in there, and Jacob's standing there. And Isaac, his eyes are dimmed and can't see good. And he said, "You know, you sound like Jacob." He said, "Are you Esau, my son?" And here's Jacob. He said, I am. He said, "Come near to me. Let me smell you." Comes and puts his hand on his arms. He feels those goat skins. It's hairy like Esau. And he smells that coat. He said, "Yeah, you sound like Jacob," but he said, "You smell like Esau." There was a glorious picture, type of that believer being robed in the righteousness of Christ. And you smell that coat. This is what the Lord says right here. I smell that your garments, and it smells like the smell of Lebanon. Robed in Him, we have the scent, the smell of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Robed in His righteousness, we stand before God. In Him, accepted. In the Beloved. And He says in closing, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up. A fountain sealed." The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is an enclosed garden. You know, you plant a little garden, you want to keep deer and stuff out of it. So what do? You put a little fence around it. You enclose it. Good ground, separated and set apart. You know, out of the rest of your yard, your field, whatever. And so, but all for God's people, for her, that bride. She's enclosed by the grace and power of Almighty God. Psalm 4:3 says, "Know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself." Care is taken for the bride as the husbandman guards and preserves that garden, hedging her about. Remember when the Lord came to talk to Satan, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan said, "Well, yeah, but you got him hedged about. I can't get to him." How's that? She's kept. The only thing Satan could do to Job is what the Lord allowed. But the bride, the people of God, they're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed. She is a spring shut up, a fountain sealed, a spring that flows as the evidence of Him who is the living water. So secure that no man is able to pluck her out of God's hand. You know. Paul, the apostle, said in Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Paul said, Romans 8:38-39, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Lord comes to his people and he says, You've stolen my heart. You're mine. I'm yours. Oh, he said, you've just, with one look of your eye of faith, one smell of your garments that I've robed you in, one chain of your neck that I've bestowed upon you for the graces of God's Spirit, he said, my heart's ravished by you. Oh, may the Lord teach us afresh of the mercy of Almighty God to save us because he loved us, gave himself for us. Amen. All right.